Straight Talk on WRHI FM 100.1 and CN2 is presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders. Now here's Manning Kimmel broadcasting live from Substation 2 on Cherry Road in Rock Hill with Straight Talk, selected by the South Carolina Broadcasters Association as the state's top public affairs program.
And a good afternoon. Welcome into Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, for another edition of our Straight Talk program presented by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, here with Founders. Our thanks to our co-sponsor today, Anderson Griggs Investments at Old Town Rock Hill. Common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. All right, we're very pleased to have with us today, my gosh, also a good pharmacy, your hometown pharmacy, Ebenezer Road at Camden Avenue in Rock Hill. Now, our guest, extraordinaire, direct from the downtown paradise known as City Hall. Where am I coming up with all this stuff?
I don't know either.
His name is Mark Sexton. He is our Director of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism. And for those who have not met you yet, you need to give everybody a little thumbnail sketch of your background, if you would.
All right, I'll do this quickly. So, grew up in a small town of Manning, South Carolina. I got to Rock Hill, South Carolina in 1990 via way of Winthrop University. Graduated in 1994, and I realized then I did not want to go back to Manning, South Carolina. It was a great place to grow up, just not a great place to
stay. I love the name of the town.
It is a good town. I've always thought about that. Still have family there. But, no, I stayed here, and I graduated from Winthrop with an emphasis in leisure services and happened to meet a gentleman by the name of Tony Adams in a class, and he said, hey, we need seasonal help at Cherry Park. And I ran to him after the class and said, hey, I need a seasonal job. So I started off with the city of Rock Hill as a seasonal employee in 1994 and have been with the city for 31 years now in a variety of different roles, and I've loved every minute of it.
Now, you've been the director of the department for, what, 3 years?
No, not quite 3 years. It's July 1 of 2024, so what's that going on, almost a year and a half?
Seems like you've been there a long time.
Well, I've been with the city for a long time, just not in that role.
I can't remember that other guy who used to have it.
John Taylor, Ed Thompson.
So you put out every year, and I thought this was very interesting, and that's what I thought we'd do a show today. You actually do an annual report.
Yes, sir.
On the Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department. And I tell you what, it's worth reading. I know a lot of people don't read anymore, but this was well done.
Well, thank you.
And I thought we ought to go through a little bit of this for people who don't read so they could understand.
Absolutely.
Particularly, I was noticing your opening message to people. And you say this thing is full of really remarkable accomplishments. A perfect cake, as you call it. We can combine the finest ingredients, each playing an essential role in our shared success.
That's right.
And that's right.
Well, and it's funny how we were actually laughing about that internally when we came up with this annual report and that opening monologue or the letter that's written in the annual report of how do we describe this. And to me, Manning, that is exactly what this is. It is like a cake. So I've said this all along. You know, when you take all these ingredients, if you will, and what I mean by that is the ingredients of the community, right? It starts with the community, and the community is basically our volunteer group that makes up what we do, and that's our advisory committee. We have, you know, and those are all volunteers of people made up in our community. Then we have five commissions, your own Rock Hill Sports Commission. Those are, again, more community members that are kind of giving us staff input on what they want to see in our community. And then you get our council involved and our city management team involved. You take all those ingredients and you mix them up. And then you add our staff on top of it, which I think our staff, they do a phenomenal job of trying to service this community and keep our parks clean. And we came up with the term of a cake. Like, it's just all these ingredients working together comes out with a natural cake. So that's where that came from.
And then you've added a little bit of icing and some sprinkle on top of
that's
the
right.
cake. With things like lifelong learning.
That's right.
Which has been a phenomenal success. 5 years old now.
That's right. Well, and that's been such a phenomenal program, a great idea. Again, another program that got generated by the community, but got generated by our council with a need. There was a need that was needed to be met, and that program has grown over 500%. It now has over 2,000 members in it. And it, you know, we celebrated its 5-year anniversary. Who would have ever thought when we said, okay, lifelong learning, who wants to go to that? It's amazing.
It's people like to learn. They want to know.
People want to continue learning. And again, credit, we have a lifelong learning advisory committee, another piece of the cake. And the icing is the program itself. But they are the ones that help guide our staff and what programs we should we offer. Well, if you don't have a good program, then nobody's going to come and listen to it. So those are all ideas that our community members tell us on, hey, what should we do this year? What programs should we offer? And it's overwhelmingly successful. And it shows that we're meeting a need of the community because they do want to continue learning.
And then when you serve this cake, what is interesting is the response you get to how good it tastes. And this is the taste of money, because the economic impact that Parks, Recreation, and Tourism is having is phenomenal.
That's right.
I mean, who would have ever thought it'd be over $100 million? And that's, what is it, 130, 140?
Yeah, it was 130 million. No, 113 million this last fiscal year, and which was actually up. You know, in the year previous, we had the 2024 BMX Worlds.
Oh yeah.
And 2024, that was 30 million alone. We didn't have that in this last fiscal year, so we were at 113 million. So we were 100 the previous year. You take out that 30, we were actually $13 million. Up over the previous year. And you know, it really is a, again, I keep talking about our council management team, but when you talk about the facilities that have been built, it takes it takes some political fortitude to be able to do that and then entrust in us that we're going to maintain it properly and that we're going to recruit it to bring these events into town. And I think we've had tremendous success, and then you get these nice venues that our local community can get to play softball, baseball, walk, basketball, volleyball, whatever the sport is. It's just the recipe, the cake, seems to work pretty nicely.
You know, for those who are new to Rock Hill and don't know the history, if you take a look at park number one, which I'll call Cherry Park, and all the political angst that went into getting that thing started, cost a couple people on council their jobs.
That's right.
One of them came back and was a mayor for 20 years. But anyway, that was going to be a shopping mall or something like that. And somebody said, no, we need to make that a park. And look what's happened as a result of that park.
Yeah.
It was like the springboard to everything that we have now.
That's right.
People wanted it.
That's right.
And in today's world, what do they want? Quality of life.
That's right. That's exactly. I mean, and they want a place to say, you know, again, you may not play softball. Cherry Park, known for softball, baseball, soccer. But even if you don't use that, you're still amazed every time I ride through there. And to think about that facility was opened in 1986. I wasn't there, but I know the history that you're referring to. And it's a neat story to tell.
Yeah.
But you ride through there now, it does not look its age.
No.
I mean, when you think that facility was opened in 86. Now, again, testament to you can, a lot of people can build things, but are you able to continue to maintain them and keep them up to speed so we can continue to recruit? But the amount of people that still walk those trails out at Cherry Park, and it's a beautiful park with the landscape, et cetera. But you're exactly right. I've always joked in my years at the city of Rock Hill, what would the city have done if it hadn't been successful? It's really not a good thing to think about, but I really believe that if it hadn't been successful, everything you see today probably wouldn't be here.
You know, one of the pages in your annual report, it's very interesting when you say, we supported over 230 premier events and tournaments. We maintained 1,600 acres of parkland and recreational space, applied 7,000 bales of straw. I mean, that's incredible. Managed $50 million in capital construction projects, completed over 550 work orders to ensure, you know, operational continuity. And, of course, you invested in the workforce. Your workforce, I don't know how you guys do what you do during your season.
Yeah.
Because these tournaments and activities you bring here are running all weekend long, and then you got the use of these facilities all week long. Who puts all that together?
Well, it is a testament to our staff. And we're certainly a 365-day-a-year operation. You know, we're 12 hours a day, 365, so it takes a lot of coordination. All the work you just, or some of the things you were just reading off on, is primarily led through our parks division, which is our largest division. I firmly believe, you know, you go into a park and the first thing you're going to do in a park is park your vehicle. Well, that's your front porch of your home, right? That's got to be clean. You got to feel safe. That's got to be clean and safe, or the rest of the park's bad. They do a phenomenal job. I call them the unsung heroes. They're always there the first thing in the morning, and they're always the last to leave, because they're going to make sure it's clean, before you get there, it's going to be clean during the day. And when everybody's gone and all the trash is around, they're picking it up and making it ready for the next day. You don't see these guys a lot. You might see them cutting grass, cleaning the toilet, you know, making sure leaves and pine needles are in place. But they do a phenomenal job. And then you mix our other two divisions in there. We couldn't do what we do with when all of our staff bleed across those three divisions. We have people that work primary roles, Parks Division, Recreation Division, Tourism Division. That's your primary role. But I think in PRT they know, which I think is a good thing. I think they enjoy it. I think they have to say, well, today I'm in Parks, but I may have to work a tourism event this weekend, or I may have to go help Miracle League on a Wednesday sure. night. And it gives them this sense of pride that they are making an impact.
And they don't have to sit behind a desk.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Or they get a little taste of everything. And from the feedback we get from our staff is they enjoy it. Now, it is a balance because, I mean, what we do is we work when other people play. And a lot of people say, I hate that phrase, but it's a little bit of truth. Most people have jobs during the day, and they're getting their recreational services when they're not working. So we have to work those odd hours, and we try to give them that flexibility and make sure, hey, we're a family. Take care of your family at home first, but we are going to have to work some little unique and odd hours.
So during your tenure, since you've been working in the Parks, Recreation, and Tourism Department, your staff has grown from approximately what to where it is now to handle all this?
Oh, my gosh. I think we were, when I started in 1994, my guess, we were probably in the, I may be wrong here, maybe in the low to mid 20s, maybe upper 20s. And we are fortunate. Again, our council, I think they've seen that we can build things, but we got to get the staff to be able to maintain it. And now our job is to create that economic impact and room night creation that we can create that tax base off of it. But we're right now at about 114 full-time staff members. So we went from when I started in 1994, I think in the 20s, to 114.
Plus you've got a seasonal army.
Yeah, we do have a seasonal army, yes, sir. That can fluctuate up to 250 people in addition to those 114 to help us maintain
but
what we have.
You know, the other aspect of this that I don't think people really, I don't think they understand it or get to see it in action, is the hospitality component of what you do when all of these tournaments come here. I remember my first taste of this. God, I guess I've been here a long time. The ACC Women's Basketball Tournament. Mm-hmm. Those teams that came here to Winthrop University's Coliseum, they couldn't believe the hospitality. And since then, it's just morphed into even more of what we do so well.
That's right.
And these big now national tournaments that are coming here, you know, Adidas and what's the Swiss? Nike, the
Nike,
rest of
yeah.
them. I mean, you really put on the show.
Well, and I think that's a great point. I appreciate you even saying that and recognizing it. I think that is a part of what we do that I think, you know, I'll just speak to Adidas as one of them since you mentioned it. You know, I think Adidas is one that we're in stiff competition to keep them in Rock Hill, South Carolina. I mean, that's an organization, that's an event that could go anywhere in the United States, and they would take them. We're in a fight. I don't mind explaining it. We're in a fight right now to keep them in Rock Hill through a little small state in the Midwest called Texas. And Texas is coming after them hard. And I think, though, what you mentioned is a large portion of why they pick us. I mean, we've talked about the facilities. I think our facilities can stand the test of anybody that's out there. But a lot of these venues just throw money at people, right? So they, you know, can Texas out money us?
Sure,
absolutely. They can financially, they can afford a lot more than just say. But the difference is, and the relationships that we've built with that organization has said, hey, it's not just transactional, it's personal, and it's the relationships that are built, and it's the hospitality, and the way people are treated, and it's the little things. I mean, I'll give you a good example of what our hospitality team has done. One of the leaders with Adidas he's an avid walker, got bad knees now, but walker, jogger. So he mentioned, yeah, I'm started riding a Peloton. Well, our staff heard that. He didn't ask for it. And they went and put a Peloton in his hotel room. And he just appreciated that small, kind gesture. Said, you know what? They care about wanting to make the little things, the hospitality, happy. And I don't know if he'll get that in Texas. I hope nobody from Texas is listening. But I think it's that level of hospitality that keeps people coming back, and they realize, I could take my event somewhere, but am I going to be treated the same way at that city or that state than we are here.
And I think if you sat down with the coaches of the ACC women's basketball teams, they have never gotten the kind of treatment that they got here.
That's right.
And I think they probably regret that they tried to move on to something bigger and better. It didn't work out for them. Okay, well, this is a big report, and I could stall right here talking about hospitality the whole time. But, you know, the other part of this thing, it's a big part of this, is recreation, which is really where the citizenry benefit from all of these facilities that have been put in place. I mean, everything that you do is not only, it was primarily for the citizens, but it also draws these tournaments.
That's right.
So the citizens can use it primarily during the week, and your tournaments are using it during the weekend.
Well, and that's just it. I mean, the Recreation Division is the backbone. And the parks, well, parks is really the backbone. The recreation is our, you know, everything we do is community-facing and customer service-centric. But it's the Recreation Division that interacts the most probably with our community, and it's all the variety of different programs. We like to call it from the cradle to the grave. But it really is, you know, whether it be a kid learning how to swim, a kid with special needs being able to play in our Miracle League, a kid for the first time maybe learning how to ride a bike. I don't know if people truly understand the impact of sometimes what our department does. Of we teach kids how to ride a bike, or that maybe they don't have a parent or something that does that, or football program or basketball program or lifelong learning. I mean, the range. I mean, we just had our therapeutic art programming event Tuesday night, which is such a unique and different event where kids make pottery and they sell it. And how special is that, that they've made this piece of artwork that I can't make at home. I couldn't do it at all. And now they sell it, but they're so proud of it, they don't know if they want to let it go. So it is very community-facing. And you know, from tennis to the new pickleball facility that's going to come on board, the work that they do in our community to make sure that our youth have access to quality recreational amenities all the way to our senior population and kids with special needs. I don't know a lot of departments that do that across our country, that wide of a range of things. I mean, we even put people in kayaks that maybe have never been kayaking before and put them on Lake Wylie or Catawba River and teach them how to do that. Climbing, rock climbing or something, anything that the community, we're talking about wrestling. Wrestling came up in our sports commission meeting on Tuesday. We came back and talked about it as a staff, and somebody said, we should start a local wrestling program. Why not? Let's
do it.
Women's
wrestling.
That's right. Women's wrestling. Why not? Let's do it. So we got to continue to find ways to be creative.
Flag football, women's wrestling.
You name it. We'll try it. I mean, I think if the community didn't realize when we brought Ocho, and you can do dodgeball and pickle, you know, not pickleball, but pillow fighting and stuff. if they want to try it, we're open-minded to it, and we'll give it away.
All right, we're going to take our mid-program break. Remind everybody that you are listening to Straight Talk live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Your with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors online at AndersonGriggs.com. Our thanks as well to Piedmont Medical Center, a community built on care. And you can find out more about them online at PiedmontMedicalCenter.com. All right, here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop. Fresh subs and salads 6 days a week between 10 in the morning and 9 o'clock at night. How we do it is in the white letters, and here we go. 1, 2, 3. Slice, slice, slice. Garden, garden, garden. Have yourself a wonderful day, and hang in there. We'll be back in just a moment.
If it's 12:30, it's Straight Talk on WRHI and CN2.
There are lots of reasons why people like dining at Substation 2.
A good deal for a delicious sandwich.
Quality of the food. I get what I want. It tastes great every time.
Hit the spot, definitely. It's amazing.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
When disaster strikes, one of the most important things is getting life back to normal. A little compassion can go a long way. Paul Davis is here for you. Paul Davis is committed to handling any property damage with exceptional care, because what we do is about more than property. It's about people. We have the training and expertise necessary to completely restore your property fast. For all your cleanup and restoration needs, call the experts at Paul Davis Restoration at 329-1140 or find us online at pauldavisrockhill.com.
When Dwight's back pain became debilitating, he knew he could trust the spine team at Piedmont Medical Center. I couldn't hardly walk and do things. It went on and went on for about 5 years.
Piedmont Medical Center offers spine surgery close to home. Our minimally invasive robotic surgical options have been shown to improve recovery time, helping you get back to doing the things you love.
I have met some people that was hurting in their back for so long. Well, I say, look, go to Piedmont, check them out.
Have you ever wondered why so many people enjoy dining at Substation 2?
I love their fresh meats and the sweet wheat bread.
The bread, their quality meats, and their prices.
It's just always a great, consistent meal.
I'm Charlie Ruffalo, and I guarantee you'll feel the same way after eating here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop.
Straight Talk on WRHI-FM 100.1 and CN2 is brought to you by Founders Federal Credit Union. Relax, you're with Founders.
And back we are here at Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, as we continue our discussion with Mark Sexton. He's Rock Hill's Director of Parks, Recreation, and Tourism. We're looking at the annual report, which is quite extensive. And you can pick this thing up. Is it online?
Well, yes, it is online. So yeah. Anybody would like a copy of it, we'd be happy to mail it to them or go through it. But you can find it online, absolutely.
Now, you, PRT and the city, for that matter, you all never sit on your laurels. You're always looking for more stuff to do, and rightfully so because the community is growing so much. I mean, my God, we're sitting here, a population pushing almost 100,000 people before you know it.
Right.
And so we've got a couple of things underway. One of them you just dedicated about 2 weeks ago, and that was the renovations that you did to Armory Park, which was quite extensive. You had a big crowd down there for that.
Yeah, it was a great crowd, and it's a good day for that, for sure.
$2.5 million worth of upgrades.
And you know the best part about that one?
What?
$1 million of those dollars were from the federal government through a grant that we received. Yeah.
Good for you.
We were the second in the state of South Carolina to receive that grant. Charleston was the first. We were the second, and we were the first to finish a project, though, which means a lot to the state of South Carolina. And we got another grant for the regional park.
Now, something that is starting to take shape is this new Southside Regional Park. This will be, when it's all done, and it'll be probably 20 years, 25 years where it's all done, will be the biggest park that Rock Hill has, stretching all the way from basically Heckle Boulevard, the south side of town.
That's right.
All the way up through the sea.
That's right. Into downtown. That's right.
So what's the status of that right now?
So some good news, and, well, not really bad news, but some good news is I mentioned that ORLAP grant, $1 million. Because of the work done there, we were able to secure a $15 million ORLAP federal grant for this regional park. The government shutdown did not help us tremendously. We did have about an hour and a half call about this park this morning. When it's all said and done, it's going to be over 80-something acres, 88, I think, is to be exact. But to kind of put that in perspective, Cherry Park in Manchester are 66 acres, 68 acres. So it's bigger than those two. But we are in the process. We are ready. Ironically, we already have a staff doesn't like me saying this. We already have a grand opening date set, May 1st of 2028. We will be throwing out the first pitch. We're working backwards into this thing. So it's going to take about 2 years to build it, we think. So we need to start moving May 1 of 2026. We pretty much are about 35 to 40% design on the park. We are very close. We're ready to go out to bid. I say the bad part about it, it's not bad, but because of the $15 million ORLAP grant from the federal government, we have to involve them in every aspect along the way. That slows us down. Not complaining. We're very appreciative of the $15 million. So we're ready to go. We're ready to bid this project, but we need one final approval from the federal government that says go. But we feel good about it. We're ready to, but you will see progress. We did put up signs, conceptual rendering signs, along Heckle Boulevard two Fridays ago, so the community can kind of go out there and ride by it, see what's coming. But we're still working with the design team of GMC. And it's going to be an exciting project for the community, more recreational opportunities, as we were talking about before, and certainly more tourism opportunities.
But this will just be for phase one of this.
That's just phase one.
Yeah. To build this whole thing out, it's going to take years.
Oh, yeah. So, it's an $87 million project that came in when the whole thing. We're like, yeah, we're not ready to bite that much of an apple off yet. But we've got a concept of the whole phases.
Sure.
But, yes, what I just mentioned was just phase one.
So, again, when you take a look at facilities, I don't think anybody ever imagined that the Sports and Events Center would be as popular as it has been. And over the years, you've been getting more requests for more space. We need more courts.
That's right.
So what do? We build a field house.
Build more courts. You know, and it's a testament, again, to our council management team and our community that sees a need and are willing to look at some success stories and say, how do we expand on that? So the Rock Hill Sports and Events Center, since it opened in late 2019, December 2019, and really early 2020, the success, I mean, we had 750,000 people walk through our Rock Hill Sports and Events Center last calendar year. 750,000, that's a lot of people coming through that building. And we had a lot of folks, and again, working with our event right holders and building those relationships, were constantly telling us, hey, we could use more space if you can get it for us. You know, we're like, really? And then we started seeing we were having to go find more space for them. High schools, Winthrop, even into Charlotte from time to time. And pickleball was kept being discussed, right? So, okay, you need more courts, basketball, volleyball, yeah. Do we need pickleball? Yeah. So you tie those two together, and now you got the Bleachery Fieldhouse right across the street, which is getting ready to open up. So I think it's a testament, again, to our council and our management team that it takes the trust to be able to put in us that we're going to be able to do a good thing with it. And the good thing is we are going to do a good thing with it.
Well, it takes me back to the big thing that's driven all of this, and that's this little two-penny hospitality tax. That little hospitality tax is paying for the Sports and Events Center. It's paying for this field house, and Lord knows what other projects out there. So people who are coming to the community, you know, buying food and eating and staying and all that kind of stuff, you're generating the revenues helping us build this stuff.
Absolutely. That's the goal. I mean, if you're going to, you know, the local resident contributes to it as well, but you don't have to go eat out. These people that are traveling from long distances, flying in a lot of cases, they have no choice. They're eating out in a restaurant. All that's coming back to help us contribute, to help operate and offset the cost of these buildings. So that's where the funding source can come from. Again, it's our job to make sure we're filling the place up. And the good news is now we're not even open. December 16th, 4 o'clock, I'd encourage everybody to come to the Bleachery Fieldhouse. We will be dedicating the building at that point. People can see it. But as of today, we have, out of 52 weekends starting in January 1 through December 31, out of the 52 weekends, we have 40 weekends already booked for next calendar year, which is phenomenal. And I told her, you know, we were joking internally. It's like, what happened to the other 12 weekends? Why can't we fill those up? We'll work hard to see if we can figure it out.
But so people understand, this is an extension of the Sports and Events Center.
Absolutely.
It is not a replica of it. Floors look the same.
That's right.
Courts look the same. But you're not going to see all the stadium seating. You're not going to see the big concession areas and the meeting rooms and all that. You're not going to have that.
That's right. I mean, the outside of the, if you ride by it, which you can see it now,
oh,
I mean,
it's beautiful.
Gorgeous. A gorgeous building.
Gorgeous.
But what you said is exactly right. I mean, I think it fits the title Fieldhouse well. It's courts. You won't tell a difference between the Sports and Event Center and the Bleachery Fieldhouse when you go over there and look at the equipment, basketball, volleyball, the lines on the court. The court itself is identical. But the inside is certainly different. And the beauty is it gives us staff great flexibility that says, you know, I don't need 170,000 square foot space. I only need 40. We can be running an event in the Bleachery Fieldhouse totally different than the Sports and Events Center.
Well, congratulations, Mark Sexton, on a great year that you all have had at PRT, and we look forward to doing this next year.
Thank you, Manny.
Well,
appreciate
done.
It.
And that's going to wrap up our Straight Talk program live from Substation 2, Cherry Road across from Winthrop, presented by Founders Federal Credit Union, Relax Here with Founders, and by Anderson Griggs Investments in Old Town Rock Hill, common sense, intelligent advice for conservative investors. You can find out more online at AndersonGriggs.com. It is a beautiful day to be in downtown Rock Hill or anywhere around here. If you want to go throw a ball or ride a bicycle or take a walk, this is the day to do it. It's really nice outside. Here inside, we make fresh subs and salads 6 days a week. How we do it is in the white letters at the count of three. One, two, three.
Slice, slice, slice. Slice. Garden, garden, garden.
Have yourself a wonderful day. We'll see you on the radio tomorrow. Bye.